I'd like you to invite you to open up your Bibles to our sermon scripture for the morning, which comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Beginning in verse 6. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift.
Good morning.
Sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. And it's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. And it's only by your blood, it is only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. an offering to you. We bring an offering to you. We bring an offering to you. We bring an offering to you. Some cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that our lives may truly be an offering to you, that all that we are and all that we do brings glory and honor to your kingdom. And Lord, we pray that through this word of scripture, that our hearts may be opened, our eyes may see the glory of your love, and we may be a reflection of that love in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Been kind of excited for this morning because I have been asked to kick off the stewardship campaign. Woo! Yes! One of the most exciting things for a church congregation is stewardship time. Amen? Amen? Amen! Woo! There's a clap over there. We got it going. My first stewardship message, I have to admit I'm a little bit nervous, but I know that God's word teaches us specifically how to lead a successful life, how to lead and live a successful life. And many times for us as Christians, what's missing from that successful life is this piece that we call stewardship. Oftentimes we cringe because we think in the church that stewardship only means money. Only means what has been put in this plate here this morning. But I'm going to tell you that this morning in my stewardship message, you can take a deep breath and relax, because stewardship is actually managing the resources that God has given to you and he has given to me. Those resources do include this money in the offering plate, yes. But those resources also include the time that you have in your life, the gifts and abilities that each of us have been given in our lives, and yes, the financial resources. So you see, friends, stewardship is all-encompassing of our lives. And so it's not by accident that some people are blessed in their lives and others aren't so blessed. Verse 6 of our reading this morning from the NIV version says, remember this, meaning don't forget this piece of your life. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. So we're asking ourselves this morning, how do we develop a lifestyle that steers our ship, our stewardship, in the right direction? First and foremost, friends, we must totally give ourselves to God. We must totally give our lives to God. True stewardship does not begin when we give our offering in the plate on Sunday morning. It does not begin when the usher walks by you and you put something in the offering plate and be like, I'm a good steward. I'm done for the week. Woo! Amen. No. Stewardship begins when we give our lives over to God. When we submit that we can do nothing without him. And when we put him first in our lives, our stewardship process has begun. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 through 5, Paul talks about how the church in Macedonia took an offering. And it reads, starting in verse 3, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Sacrificial giving. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. This church in Macedonia put God first. Then they gave more in money and in service than even they had. How could we give more than we actually have? We only have so much, right? But this church in Macedonia understood that if they gave first to God, that God would not only give them a harvest, but it would be bountiful, and they could give more, and they would be blessed, but only because they put the Lord first. The first thing that you have to give God is not your money. The first thing that you have to give God is not watching television after church on Sunday. The first thing isn't about listening to the sermon, friends. The first thing that we have to give God is ourselves. Fully, completely, all that you are, you have to give to God. This is not a principle of tithing, friends. This is not, I will give God 10%. I will give him 10% of my time, my 1 hour on Sunday surely must be enough for the Lord, right? No. This is not about 10% of the gifts and abilities that you have given. Well, I'll teach one class of adult Sunday school, but I'm going to save the rest for something else. No. You have to give your life completely to God. And you will be blessed bountifully. You will be able to give more than even you thought possible, because you have put God first in your lives. Many Christians never learn this principle. We've seen them lose blessings in their lives financially, spiritually, and emotionally because they have never given their lives fully over to Christ. C.S. Lewis writes in The Weight of Glory, he writes this, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." If we are to live a life of putting God first, it would mean that the rest of our desires on this earth would assume a different place in our lives. We would be freed, friends, of some of our most devouring cravings, which come from trying to fill the first order of our lives with second, third, or fourth order options. Because in all truth, food, sex, money, ambition, authority, and fame can never. These things, food, money, sex, ambition, authority, and fame can never fill what God wants to fill in our lives. God must come first. The song that Jason sang for us this morning was just perfect. And we placed it here at this point between the sermon scripture and the sermon because I wanted you to understand that this is not about a financial offering, friends. It's about offering worship to our King. Worship is an act of daily obedience to God. Worship is not just about the 11 to 12 o'clock hour on Sunday morning. It's how you live out your life, moment to moment, day by day, hour by hour, year by year. That is your offering of worship to our King. We put God first, and we offer our lives as a worship, and we start to become good stewards of God's kingdom here on earth. Getting back to our sermon scripture this morning, continuing on in verse 7 and 8, it reads, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." This is an issue, friends, of what we need versus what we want or think we need. The height of ingratitude is when God gives us something and we build a fence around it. And we don't want to share it, or we don't want to give it back. We want to keep it for ourselves. Friends, this is not good stewardship. Good stewardship is receiving a blessing from God. All that we have comes from Him. So we don't build a fence around it and pretend like we're going to keep it for ourselves. Instead, we let the river flow. We let the river flow to bless others, just as we have been blessed in our very own lives. Because as we do so cheerfully, not like, oh my gosh, let me take the fence down, I will share. No, we're going to be cheerful and we're going to say, I will do this. This is what I want to do in my life as a steward of God's kingdom. Grace is going to abound in you. Your shoulders will no longer be slumped, they will be pushed back. The frown that you have on your face will be turned upside down. And grace is going to flow through you so that in all things, at all times, you will have exactly what you need. Maybe not what you want, but you'll have what you need. You've put God first. And you understand that as a steward, you don't need to keep it all for yourself. That we return that through God's grace. The first thing after putting God first, now our second thing, is that we need to learn that we own nothing. We own nothing. The mortgage that you have, nothing. This church building, nothing. The car that you drive, nothing. The children that we have, nothing. Because all things come from God above. If I die today, I take nothing with me. I own nothing. Pastor Eric Hoheisel is a pastor at Oakland Baptist Church, and he's an amazing artist. He loves to paint. He took a six-month sabbatical and was doing nothing but painting. And he did some fantastic pieces. But the one piece that sticks with me out of his entire collection that he painted over that six-month sabbatical was of this. There is a hearse driving to the cemetery, and it is pulling a U-Haul. Friends, if you die today, you are taking nothing with you. The U-Haul does not follow you to the grave, and all of a sudden in the great beyond in heaven, you have all your crap with you. We own nothing. So break down the fences that you have built around yourself. And become a good steward of your time and your talent and your finances, and give back to God, because He will supply all that you need at all times, in all things. You will have grace flowing through you that you had no clue was even surrounding you. We cannot take anything to the grave that we didn't come into this world with in the first place. So break down those fences, friends, because stewardship starts when we give Him the only thing that we can, ourselves. Continuing on in verses 9 through 11, it reads, "As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Remember, this is not just about the money. This is about a lifestyle. This is about how we live in response to God's love to us. You're going to be amazed in just a second about what the Bible says about our giving. Again, not just about money, time and talent as well. You're going to be shocked probably about what this says. But we need to apply these principles of giving and grasping. And so if we apply them, not just apply them, but if we actually do them, Jesus says this to us: "If you know these things, know them in your heart. Happy are you if you do them." Do not just know this cerebrally. Know it in your heart and then do it. In preparing for today's message, I took out my concordance and I was looking up words like give or giver, giving. I discovered something. The word believer, believe, or believing appears 272 times in the Bible. Prayer or praying appears 371 times. Love or loving, 714 times in the Bible. Give, giver, giving, 2,162 times. That's three times more than love, seven times more than prayer, and eight more times than believing. I think the message here is pretty clear, friends, that God wants us to be givers. God desires to bless us and provide for us in the necessities of his life because we are his children. And if God feeds the birds and clothes the lilies of the fields, he wants to, and he will. He not only wants to, but he will take care of you. For God to take care of our needs, there are two things that are necessary. If we want God to take care of our needs, there are two things that we have to do. First, we must ask God to provide for our needs. We must ask him and be bold. Paul said in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." We must ask God to provide for our needs if we expect him to take care of them. Second, we must be generous with our giving. He's not going to give you something that you're going to think is yours, and then you're going to hoard it and keep it for yourself. God blesses you with time and talent and finances to be able to give back to his kingdom. Friends, we are the body of Christ here on earth. So that which he gives you is to be that body here, to be the hands and the feet, the eyes and the heart here on earth to spread his love to others. You have been given these things to share. And so I ask you this morning, what is steering your ship? What is steering your stewardship this morning, friends? Is it guilt? Is it obligation? Is it because it's the way it's always been done? What is steering your ship, friends? Because, friends, stewardship is a key test of our spiritual commitment. verse 12 of our scripture this morning says, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." Our giving of our time, of our talents, and of our treasures tests our commitment to God. If you can't be trusted to take care of these things on a day-to-day basis, if you can't be trusted to give your time and talent to God and your treasure to God, if you can't be trusted with those things, how do you ever expect to be trusted with the kingdom and the riches of God in your eternal life? God has blessed us with so many things here on earth, and He expects us to use them to spread His kingdom, so that when we go into eternal life with Him, others will be there with us. Not only does God bless us here in accordance with how faithful we are with our stewardship, He gauges how He'll bless us spiritually by our stewardship as well. When our ship is headed in the right direction, yes, friends, when our stewardship is headed in the right direction, it strengthens our faith and is proof of our love for God. Because He has flowed that love down on us so abundantly, so greatly, so inexplicably, that we can do nothing but let that love flow through each and every one of us. Friends, this is something important for us to remember, that you can give without loving. But you cannot love without giving. Let me say that one more time. You can give without loving. But you cannot love without giving. Giving in response to God's love, or steering our stewardship as an act of daily worship to our King, focuses on the eternal rather than the temporal. Alexander the Great, who had conquered the world, he had it all. He had it all. He insisted that when he died, he wanted to be buried with his hands open, facing up. Because he knew that when he died, he would leave this earth with nothing. He wanted people to understand that while he was here, he had it all. He had the title Alexander the Great. Everything was in his power and control. But he had the knowledge and the understanding that when he died and left this place, he left with this in his hands. Nothing. He understood that this was about the eternal and not the temporal. Verse 13 reads, "Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else." If our ship is on the right path, it will bring rightful praise and glory to God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." He gave all that He had and all that was to be. He gave it to you and to I. Sinners, the lowest of the low, the scum of the earth, He gave that to you and I. Not for us to keep to ourselves, but to share abundantly. And through that generosity and sharing, the gospel will be lifted up, Christ will be known, and those will come to acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. Well, after World War II, much of the European world was in ruins, and many Americans were staying behind to help rebuild. And a soldier was driving through the streets of Germany, and when he saw this little 10-year-old orphan boy with his nose stuck up against the bakery window looking in, he stopped his car. And he pulled over that Jeep, and he went to the boy, and he asked him if he wanted some of what was in that window. And the 10-year-old boy, his eyes lit up and he shook his head. He could not even say yes. He shook his head. And the soldier went in and he bought the young boy a snack of donuts and cakes, and he brought it out to the boy. And as the soldier was getting into the jeep, the little boy looked at him and said, "Are you God?" Friends, you and I are more like God when we give more than any other times in our lives. We reflect the love of God when we give to others. Verses 14 and 15 say, "And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." You see, church, everything we have comes from God. Not one thing that we have in our lives is because of us. Therefore, as we are beginning this year of stewardship, this stewardship campaign, let us not solely think about finances of the church. Although God does love a cheerful giver, and I'm pretty sure it probably implies a generous one as well, but let us think about giving to God first. Let us see that we are steering our ship in the right direction by putting God first and foremost in our lives. And because God gave us those resources, we should return them to his kingdom so that the grace of God may flow freely through each of us. And each of us can praise God on this day and every day of our lives, and we can say, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." May God bless each and every one of you.